You tell him I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live.
At least a while.
And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. Any listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. I made it in time. Well, almost in time. I was a couple minutes late. But anyway, welcome to The Shooting Bench. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of October. And I managed to get my Boy Scouts in early tonight. So we got done early, and I was able to get here at a reasonable hour. Wednesday night is touch and go for me. And I'll have to tell you, I don't know what we're going to do when the time changes, because since my time doesn't change, I've got to start an hour earlier than normal so I can stay on the same time with all of you guys. So it's going to be, Wednesday nights is going to be difficult. I may wind up having to do a pre-record or something every Wednesday because my scout starts at the same time the show starts. So we'll just have to do the best we can with that and work around it. So there you have it. Theshootingbench.us. We're getting a lot of response to that. I mean, not, you know, hundreds of millions anyway, at least not yet. But we have got some orders off that. You can go to we've got a small online store there. You can go check it out. Some of the things that we talk about on the show are available. We'll get more stuff up there when I get time to work with it. But I've got a couple of guys. Let me check here and see right quick if they're in the chat room, because I'm going to have to see if I can beg their forgiveness on a couple of things, as I've got that show, that disaster preparedness seminar this weekend, and I'm going to be running pretty short, on pretty thin on both time and materials, and we'll see if they'll let me wait until this thing's over to ship to them. Okay, Desert Rat says he thinks they'll be an hour later to be on New Mexico time. So if my normal starting time is 8 o'clock Pacific, that's going to be 7 o'clock New Mexico time. So I will need to move my show to New Mexico Mountain Time, which will be 7. It'll be an hour earlier. And then when the time changes again, now what I could do, but it wouldn't, actually, no, I can't. It wouldn't work for me. I need to stay in that time slot so that everybody doesn't have to be up till 2 o'clock in the morning. yes, Desert Rat, I am the same as California now. I'm on Pacific time now. So in order for that to stay starting at 8 o'clock Pacific time, I will need to start at 7 Mountain Time, because 7 Mountain Time is 8 o'clock Pacific Time. And that, right now the show starts at 7 Mountain Time if we're on Mountain Time, but we're not, we're on Pacific. So when I change to Mountain Time, I'll be starting at 7, and it'll still be starting at 8. Out on the left coast. So pretty sure that's right. I hate this. I like not changing times here, but in order to keep up with everybody else in the country, we have to make some sacrifices here. Pumpkin Cat, it's 9. Okay, if it's 7, you know what? I think you're right. It is 9 there, because if it's later there, that's right. So it's 9, so I will have to start at 9 o'clock and go from 9 to 11. Wow. Thanks, Desert Rat, you just made my day. Go to the corner. But he's right. I've got to start at 9 o'clock. My time, which will now be New Mexico time. That is absolutely correct. So there you have it. I'll be Desert Rat's doing a. He's being very obedient. Okay, he's headed to the corner. Okay, it's 10 o'clock Central, 11 Eastern. So yeah, that's the way it's. It's 11 Eastern. So that's the way it's going to be. We'll be starting at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, which that really doesn't change anything. That really doesn't change anything except for me, because we're still going to be starting at 9 o'clock Mountain Time. We're still going to be starting at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We're still going to be starting at 8 o'clock Pacific Time. It's just that I have to change everything. So, okay, there we go. So it'll be the same for everybody except Arizona. So let's get off of that topic before I screw it up again. I guess you guys have been following what's going on in Canada today. If you haven't heard, which I find it hard to believe if you haven't heard, but there was a shooting today at their parliament building, or whatever you call it, their Capitol building. And apparently, it kind of looks like if the sergeant at arms there, sergeant of the guard or whatever he is, hadn't have been on top of things and had a loaded gun, it may have been much, much worse. If that would have happened here, the sergeant of the guard probably would have been, either had the gun unloaded or had it loaded with blanks or something. But, anyway, he took the guy out, and They haven't determined yet if there's, you know, two or three or more shooters. What they have determined, though, is that the guy that they killed was a converted Muslim. He was an American that had converted to Muslim recently, a young guy. And in Canada, of course, I don't know how this happened in Canada, because there, you can't have, you know, you can't just walk around on the street with a gun and stuff like that. So I'm having a hard time figuring out how that happened. But yeah, I knew he was a former Mountie, but I just didn't know, you know, if you can be a former anything you want to be, but if you're in our military, of course, maybe the sergeant of the guard there is not considered, maybe he's not considered military. It could be. But if it was us, he wouldn't have had a loaded gun. So, and how that happened in Canada, I have no clue. Because it's just much too difficult to run around with a loaded gun. And their gun control laws work so well up there. Or at least they think they do, and I think that was the big probably the big key to his marginal success there, and that was the fact that they're just not used to that kind of stuff happening. They just don't do that. You know, we have those kind of things. That would have been much harder to do at the White House. Well, I guess it wasn't either, because a couple of weeks ago we had some guy march right in there, jumped over the fence and run right into the White House. But typically, a few years ago, that would have been very difficult. It would have been suicide to do that at the White House. And I think it kind of took everybody off guard there a little bit, and they weren't really prepared for that to happen. But the take-home message out of this is that ISIS is, and they're claiming responsibility for it, so they are, I think they're trying to make good on some of their threats, some of their promises. So Minnie says there was another jumper today. She's going to hunt down a link for us. We'll check that out. There's been some cotton picking, many things going on today. I haven't been able to keep up with it, and I've been trying to get ready for this seminar coming up this weekend, and been fighting with some liberals in New Mexico on Facebook and a number of other things going on. Plus, I had Boy Scouts tonight, and I missed a cotton picking coyote today, too. Do you know that? I heard the dog barking, a little different type of bark, so I grabbed the .22 Magnum, and I'm easing around the corner out there. And I see this coyote out by the goat pen. And I pulled the gun up nice and slow. And he didn't see me. He didn't spook. But something, whether it was one of the goats or something else, spooked him a little bit. And he was standing right by the corner of the feed shed. And right when I pulled the trigger, he jumped ahead for the woods. And once you move off that road right there, it's my road, the driveway. It's not a road. Once you move off of that, then he's in the woods, and you know I couldn't see him again from where I was at. So, chalk one up for the coyotes. That doesn't happen very often. I rarely miss a coyote. Okay, here's another jumper story. Apparently, this happened. This was just today, I reckon. A fence jumper apprehended tonight outside the White House after he scaled the north fence. How are these guys climbing the fence so much? I mean, you'd think that they would be, I've seen private houses, mansions, clubs, bars, little correctional facilities and mental health facilities and all that, you can't just run out there and climb over the fence anytime you want to. You'd think, considering what is at stake here, that it would be a little bit more difficult to jump over the fence. So he did make it over. So it says that he kicked at one of the dogs, and another dog subdued him. And when he landed there, the cops were all over him. And he was unarmed at the time, so I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. What are they going to do, charge him with trespassing? But anyway, they put the White House on lockdown, took the dogs to the vet for any injuries that they had. So Omar Gonzalez, Muslim Mexican maybe, I'm not sure what that is. But, that was a different story. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So, at any rate, the fact that this stuff is starting to, we had the deal in Oklahoma where they cut the woman's head off, that sure quieted down quickly. We don't hear anything about that anymore. And, several other little, events going on here that are directly tied to Muslims and or ISIS, the Islamic State. So it could get pretty exciting here, and I think that was the reason for was it Rights at Risk there that said that a while ago? Maybe, yeah, I know Pumpkin Cat said that. Yeah, it may be a moot point before long. There may be some exciting things happening here in short order. There was, where is my story? What happened to my story? Stand by, I'm missing a story. Come here. There's that one, and there's that one. Is that one? Why am I missing the story? Huh. All right, well, let's check over here. And there it is. I knew I had another story coming up here. There's one of my guys that ordered generator right there. Anyway, maybe you heard this story. 33 police officers fired 600 rounds into a car knowing full well that it contained a hostage at the time. Now, that's there are 33 officers. Basically, all they had to do was all empty their, if they were carrying a Glock 17 with a round in the chamber, all they had to do was all of them empty their magazine once, and that would have been 600 rounds. That was 18 rounds apiece or a hair more. So says the attorney, this happened. When did this happen? Because I found this story just a couple of days ago. It's not brand new. It's pretty new. Okay, October 20th. Yeah. Attorney for the girl here said on Thursday that the Stockton police used unreasonable force. I don't know what is unreasonable about shooting 600 rounds into a car that may contain an innocent person. What is unreasonable about that? I mean, certainly they're going to, I mean, the hostage is probably going to be killed, but you know, what's that considered a unintended consequence there? The misfortunes of war. The girl was taken hostage by robbers at the Bank of the West in Stockton, California, in front of her 12-year-old daughter who waited for her in the car. The little girl was crying, saying that the woman was crying, saying her daughter was alone in the car. I don't want my daughter to see me coming out with you. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen, and they took her anyway. Unfortunately, it was not the robbers that the lady had to worry about. It was the cops that were chasing them. Had a chase lasted nearly an hour, so the robbers fired over 100 rounds at the officers. Stand by a minute. Fired nearly 100 rounds. Two other women were taken hostage as well, but they were either thrown out or jumped as the car was speeding from the police. Anyway, she was shot this wife and mother, was shot at least 10 times by the cops, 33 of them, who fired over 600 rounds into the vehicle, despite the fact... Now, all this over a bank robbery. I'm sure they were a little put out because they got shot at. It doesn't say any of them got hit, even though the robbers fired over 100 rounds at them. Doesn't say any of them were injured. But what's going to happen, and I'll tell you, this guy in Pennsylvania, what's going to happen with him is he's going to be Chris Dornard, just like this hostage here was. It was irrelevant that there was an innocent woman in there, a mother of a, how old was the little girl, 7 or 11, 12-year-old girl? Mother of a 12-year-old girl, at least one 12-year-old girl, somebody's wife. But it doesn't matter. As long as we kill those bastards that shot at us, it doesn't matter what else happens. And just like Chris Dorner out there in California, they didn't care who they injured. Remember we talked about the two women that were in the Chevy truck or whatever it was that was not even the same color, not even the same model, and they fired, you know, 100 or 200 rounds or something like that into that car. No, it wasn't that many either. Seemed like it was maybe 30-some-odd rounds. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was multiple rounds. Fired into a truck because they're scared, they're unreasonable, they're bloodthirsty, they're full of vengeance, and it didn't matter if it was the wrong truck, wrong color, wrong model, two people in it, and they were only looking for one, but they're going to kill everything that's big enough to die until they find Chris Dorner. And then you heard the one say, you know, they admitted they planned to burn him out. It was caught on tape when they said that. So that's what's going to happen with this guy in Pennsylvania. He hasn't got a chance. He hasn't got a prayer. When and if they find him, they will kill him dead with extreme prejudice. And they'll cover it up. There'll be no taking him alive and putting him in jail and bringing him to a fair trial. They still, most of the cops that are chasing him probably don't have any earthly idea what the real story is. All they know is what they heard on the news or what they heard in their squad room there. Oh yeah, he ambushed two cops. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. That's just what we hear. But even so, if he were to drop his guns and strip down to his underwear and walk out of the woods, hands up, barefooted, I think they'd still kill him and say that he attacked him. I don't think he has a chance. If he's not actively surrendering. Do you think with this license to kill, this go-ahead that they've got to kill, considering that that he allegedly killed two of their brothers in blue, as they say, do you think that he's going to ever be seen actively surrendering? That's what I said. If he can run out there naked, barefooted, with your hands up, saying, don't shoot, don't shoot, and walking towards them backwards, I think they're still going to shoot him. I don't think he has a chance. If he does, if he comes out of this alive, I will be incredibly surprised. I will be flabbergasted, overwhelmed with surprise. The only way he's got a way to get out of this is if he were to manage to get out of the woods and go to one of the news stations, TV station, or to a, you know, somewhere where there's lots of people. Go to the news station somewhere where they could cover it. We have this guy in here with us right now. He has surrendered. He has given up. He has given us all his weapons. We have him locked in a broom closet. And they put that on the news. I think that's about the only way that he's going to make it. Otherwise, he's toast. I don't see him getting out of this. 33 police officers shot 600 rounds. And the department, of course, now, what a surprise this is. The department has defended its officers, saying they were worried that the violence would escalate. Yep. I would be worried about that, too. 600 rounds. There may be a coyote out there. I may have to go back outside. Something's going on. So how about we... I need to get out there. Stand by just a minute. Let's... Oh, I know what it is. Never mind, I don't think it's coyotes after all. But nevertheless, I'm going to start a song here for you. It's just about break time, anywho. So let me go take care of this little issue, and I'll be back.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today.
Well, Mama was exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me, one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to Mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow, and then he said, "This boy's way off the charts as far as I can tell. Mama, he's a double XL."
Thank you. the rodeo and the cellist guy. Fires they burn out of control. God bless those left behind to fight the flames and hold the line and give it all to save our home from the fire on the muddy hole.
People.
How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
Look it up. Go look it up. In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR, 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany, nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government, 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on. And on. Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough. Enough.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
As an American.
As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them as they've done throughout history over and over again.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measured Radio Network.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the park. Shotgun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Oh, I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All righty, we're back. Had a little extended break there. We had conflicting schedules tonight, and I had somebody bring Kelly home, and that's what the dogs were going crazy about. And so, trying to get everything back in order here. Okay. There's some of these stories, and I don't think that it's the fact that the stories are so absurd and so grotesque and so hideous. I don't think that's the reason, really, that these stories, that I do them. I think that we're seeing, I think the reason I do it here is because they all kind of indicate to me what is coming up, what we're about to see. That's a sign of the times, if you will, the degradation of society that we always talk about. And this one, you know, part of me just wants to just lay down on the floor and just bawl my eyes out. I mean, I can't for this little girl. I cannot, in my wildest nightmares, imagine somebody doing this to a little girl, particularly her mother. This mother was 25 years old. The girl was 6. And she yanked her up out of the chair by her hair so hard that the girl's scalp separated from her skull and blood pooled around her eyes. You know why she did that? You know why she yanked her up like that? Pulled her scalp loose from her head. Because she couldn't count to 12. You know, some of these are just downright difficult to even to read, to even imagine. The little girl, she's 6. She's 6 years old. The little girl told the cop there, said she could only count to 10 because she only had 10 fingers. But when she couldn't count any higher, that's when her mommy got mad and grabbed her by the hair. And she didn't do anything wrong. The girl told police on another occasion that her mother pulled her across the floor into a corner by her hair. Why in the hell does she have a kid anyway? That's one that should have been given up for adoption at birth. If you're going to be like that, if you don't want kids, give them up. I know that there's families out there that are grieving and hurting and crying and wishing that they could have a kid. She was charged with aggravated assault and endangering the welfare of a child and held on $50,000 bond. It's a good thing it wasn't up to me. She'd be held on $400 million bond. And I'd make sure she had a speedy trial. She'd be tried in 2061. All three children have been removed from the home, sent to live with family members. Damn, I'd have to wonder if that's not in if that doesn't run in the genes. You know what? How many other family members are like that? That's probably not a good thing to say, but man, that's unbelievable. No word yet on what the woman's husband had to say about the incident. Leave it to Doc. Yeah, she's only got 10 fingers, so she couldn't count any higher. I guess if she would have hurried up and take her shoes off real quick and start counting, then maybe she would have. 6 years old. My heart just breaks for that little girl. I can't believe that is a woman right there that I would have no problem punching in the mouth. I had no problem. I would just have no problem. Should I be not too late to say they call her husband Baldy? I know that I should be, and I say this almost every night, that I should be forgiving and tolerant and try to, you know, but I'm sorry, it just ain't in me. I ain't got it. When it comes to little kids, I don't have it. Can't do it. Won't even try. Don't want to. Unbelievable. Well, after I thought this other one was kind of bad, but after that one, this one's nothing. This is just a mere inconvenience. Doesn't mean much. It didn't even happen here. This was in England. But this was kind of like the Marine that got run out of the place the other day because of his shirt. Well, here was a girl. She's completely blind, went to a supermarket with her guide dog, and they refused her service when she got to the checkout stand with her friend and her dog. Cashier hollered at her and said, "Pets are not allowed." This is not a pet. But despite the high visibility jacket and everything on the dog, it's a black Labrador. He said the staff just would not acknowledge that the animal wasn't a pet. The other two cashiers joined in with them and said it wasn't just one stupid person that said this, you know, that just needs more training or something. There's two other ones joined in with us, said there's no exceptions before being told she could stay for the time being, but couldn't return to the store in the future. She was just told to leave because of the guide dog. She pointed out that it wasn't a pet, but a guide dog. She said that this should have been immediately obvious from the dog's harness and fluorescent label on the lead. And I repeatedly said that I was registered blind and that this was a trained assistance dog. Didn't change anything. Well, the several customers tried to back her up, and they were shouted down. Now, can you imagine these people, this staff, why is it that important to them? I think what happened is one of them led the charge there, and the rest of them didn't have any idea. They just jumped on board because they thought they could, and probably didn't even know what the policy was. But it said a woman followed me all the way up to South Hampstead Station just to say how terribly upset she was about what she had just witnessed, and that this had to be challenged. She was previously worked as a conference interpreter for the University of Leeds, said it was the latest in a series of difficulties she's faced since moving to the capital to study in September. on down here a little bit, she said, I went up to Leeds to do some teaching at the university yesterday, and I truly dreaded coming back to London. This is not what I expected from our metropolis. Well, at least to the store's credit, they said that this never should have happened, and they will contact her directly and apologize. We do allow guide dogs in the store and have reminded colleagues of that. We also offer customers with guide dogs help with their shopping if they'd like assistance. Like I said, I could see one young, new, just hired person do that and then say, oh, I didn't know. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, here, please, let me help you. But to have their training and their employee handbook or whatever they've got there must be pretty inadequate for three of them to jump on board there and tell her that she has to get out with her guide dog. Minnie and Doc's got a good point. It doesn't say that in the story, but Muslims don't like dogs much. Matter of fact, they take great pleasure in torturing them and injuring, hurting them and everything. And there's always that possibility. There are oodles and gobs of Muslims in England and London and in all around there. So there's a good possibility that that is the case. Well, anyway. All right. Let me get back over here to my other deal here. There we go. It seems that, going back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, what's happening in Northwest Pennsylvania right now, aside from on a whole different topic here from the, I think it's a different topic from the fact that the guy doesn't have a prayer. The other thing that's going on here above and beyond this is the fact that these people are, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cops out there fully geared up in, SWAT gear, military style equipment. They've got to a point, they said, that no expense has been spared for this. The manhunt has become so expensive, now running into the millions of dollars, that lawmakers in Pennsylvania are starting to be a little uneasy with it. The rest of the whole rest of the state is being forsaken here, and they are all converging to find one guy that killed one cop and wounded another one. He took off into the woods, and they're trying to disparage him here a little bit and put his self-taught survivalist skills, in quotation marks, into effect to escape. Well, his self-taught survival skills seem to be working pretty well for him right now. And I'm going to be tickled to find out that he's not even in the area there anymore. He's off in the French Riviera or something, you know. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But, like I said, he has no chance. Now, these guys have armored vehicles, night vision equipment. They've hired some hunters. Believe it or not, they've hired some local hunters around there to try to catch him. Obviously, to help track and stuff. But said the residents haven't been spared either. Those at home, when the manhunt began, were put on lockdown, while others have been blocked from returning to their homes. And they are understandably frustrated about the way they're being treated. They walked through the house, they walked through the property, checked out the basement. They're doing the same thing they did in Boston. No warrants, no nothing, just this guy killed a cop and we'll do anything. Nobody will get in our way. We don't mind hurting you if you want to be smart about it. But we're gonna look in your house, we're gonna check your basement. And we're going to do it without a warrant, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what's going on in Pennsylvania right now. Schools have been closed. Cops line the roads. The roadblocks all over the place. And they very much, even the Halloween events there have all been put on hold. And this is very much like 1938 Germany, 45, 44, whatever. It's like an occupying force here. The Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens said, "We will find you." Okay, well, this was September 26th that he said that. This was published on October 20th, so we're going on a month here. That so far that hasn't held true. 6 weeks into the search, I guess it is, because it started before this. 6 weeks into it, still haven't got him. So, there was a new development here. A woman claims the two have spotted him. That his face was caked in mud, and he was carrying a rifle near his old high school in the town of Swiftwater. Police say it was a credible sighting based on that. It appears that he's moved about 6 miles south, so the search area is being expanded. It means that despite all police efforts, he's still slipped through the... slipped through the yellow tape there and managed to move on upstream a little ways. Now this is two things. This is a lot like Boston, and it's also a lot like the Chris Dorner event or episode fiasco, whatever. So there you have it. That's what's going on in Pennsylvania. And you can color me unimpressed right now with what's going on. But there's a couple. Well, I'm going to save that for tomorrow night. Here's an interesting. Now these are credible scientists here that have did this report, this study, this survey, this whatever you call it, research. And what they're saying may not be exactly what some of you'd like to hear. But this leads me to believe that some of you are definitely not going to get cancer. This is a true story. Scientists say, I don't know where they got their scientist degree, but scientists say that smelling farts helps prevent cancer. So, excuse me just a minute. I got to take my cancer medicine. There we go. Okay. There you go. Well, that's what's going on inside. Hey, Kojo made it in there with us. The tanker, yeah, you come in a little late there. Yeah, we talked about that, Chris Dorner. This is very much like Dorner. The things that we talked about before you came in were the fact that when they find him, if they find him, he's a dead man. Doesn't matter what he does. I see him having almost zero chance of surviving this. There you go. Okay, let me go down through my chat room here real quick and see what's going on. All right. yeah, we're gonna have to start measuring our cancer medicine here on the Richter scale. The Tinker, that's what I was saying there a while ago. I hope he's on the French Riviera somewhere. Just for the embarrassment. You know, it's not that people need to understand when I say that, I'm not saying that I don't know if he killed two cops or not. They say he did. I don't know if he ambushed them. I don't know. He may have shot him in self-defense. I don't have any idea. So when I say I hope he gets away, it's not because he killed the cops or what I think of that. It's just that I like to see them be embarrassed when they're not able to do what they claim they can do. When they say how well we're trained, how much how much money and how much time and all this stuff that we have in training, but we can't find one guy in the woods, even though we knew where he was at. We've got all, so that takes us to yet another topic, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Oh, the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. Marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely frown that has your lightning bound help you dry your tears when the new wears off of your crystal chandelier? Never did fit in too well with the folks you knew. When it's plain to see that the likes of me don't fit with you, so you traded me for the gaiety of the well-to-do, and you turned away from the love I offered you. The crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately around the hall. But will the timely crowd that had you laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new words of your crystal chandeliers? See your picture in the news most every day. You're the chosen girl of the social world, so the stories say. But a paper smile only lasts a while, and then it fades away. And the love we knew will come home to you someday. Crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. But will the timely crowd that has your laughing loud help you dry your tears when the new wars all from your crystal chandeliers? When the new wars on from your crystal chandeliers. Thank you so much.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
America, we won't stand for tyranny. Okay, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
sure. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
Okay, we're back, and I'm not real pleased with some of these stories we got here. I was going to tell you, we had another issue here. We got one guy, one lone survivor. We got a guy that self-taught survivalist has been eluding this gargantuan intense manhunt now for 6 weeks. You know, who was that other guy that did that here some years ago? Rudolph somebody. Anyway, he eluded them for quite a while too, doing exactly the same thing, just a different state. He was out in North Carolina or somewhere. What the heck was his name? No, not Cooper. He just disappeared completely. He never has been found, as far as I know. This other guy, they finally did find him. He was coming in from the woods there, and he'd come into town and he'd sneak around there and get stuff out of the... Eric Rudolph, thank you. Yeah, there you go. He eluded the cops for a long, long time. And I don't remember what the outcome of that was, but they did finally get him. But what's a fake story about the guy in Pennsylvania? I don't know, that's... I'll take your word for it. We'll see what happens. But there's been some eyewitness accounts and somebody killed those cops, I reckon. Cooper jumped out of the plane, but they never did find him. Yeah. So, but my point is here, what I was about to make, is that if they can't find one guy that's been gone for 6 weeks here, what about how hard is it going to be if some of these ISIS guys or any terrorists, as far as that goes, want to have the inclination to go do something and get off in the... You know, a lot of these stories are difficult to sort out. Because sometimes we have somebody that apparently that they, at least allegedly, want really bad to catch. and they can't do it, and then they have some other guy that doesn't seem to be trying very hard, or I don't know, the stories just don't add up sometimes. But many, that's a fact. I mean, they eventually make a mistake. That's what happened with Claude Dallas. That's what happened with, or could have happened with, what the hell was his name, David Koresh. They could have just waited till he went into town. He went in all the time, and they could have got him in. Claude Dallas eluded him for I don't know how long, and he made a mistake, if I remember right. They caught him at a 7-Eleven or something in California. I still remember. I can show you exactly where I was the day that I heard that. I remember we'd watched the movie. I've got the movie, Manhunt for Claude Dallas, and it's a pretty good show. And we had watched this show, and then sometime later, I don't know, a year or so later maybe, they had managed to catch him at a convenience store in California. And it could be, if I remember right, he may have escaped again after he was captured. They caught him, and he got Claude Dallas. For those of you who don't know, he was a guy that got he had killed a game warden out in it was in Nevada, I believe. Killed a game warden, and they finally caught him for it. And let's see, they caught him first, and I think he. Well, I'm just speculating now because I don't remember. It's been too long since I've seen the show. But Minnie's absolutely right. They usually get caught when they make a mistake. It's certainly rarely due to the prowess of the pursuers. All right, there's the First Amendment, First and Fourth and Second and Tenth and all the rest of them seem to be completely by the wayside. Matter of fact, I've been arguing vigorously with some liberals in New Mexico about this stuff. Matter of fact, let me go see if I can find the original post. I know I can find it if I wanted to, because I did several screen prints.
Of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is taking a step many opponents of same-sex marriage feared would come,
forcing those with religious objections
to perform same-sex marriages or risk facing prosecution for violating non-discrimination laws. Donald and Evelyn Knapp, ordained ministers who oppose gay marriage, own the Hitching Post Wedding Chapel in Coeur d'Alene. Early in 2014, a federal judge in Idaho ruled that the same-sex marriage ban was unconstitutional, but the ruling was put on hold while the case was appealed. When the Supreme Court declined to hear the case, the ruling stood and went into effect. The Daily Signal reports, quote, on Friday, a same-sex couple asked to be married by the Knapps, and the Knapps politely declined. The Knapps now face a 180-day jail term and $1,000 fine for each day that they decline to celebrate the same-sex wedding. Note the jail time and the fine is per day, not per offense.
So that's where I was leading up to this. 180 days in jail and $1,000 a day fine for declining to perform that wedding. Something seems to be dreadfully wrong here. I just don't get how the government has become involved in our personal lives to a point that we are being jailed and fined for standing up for your rights. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen here.
Moving and shaking this hour in tech, former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer. He's loving his new gig, being
Why
the owner
do we
of the
have
NBA's
this
LA
noise
Clippers.
Ballmer happening
indicates
on
he's
my...
still on the outs with co-founder Bill Gates, and he talked to Charlie Rose about what he would have done differently.
Hush. Wow. What's going to happen here is... A great many of these pastors and churches and stuff are going to decline to do this at all. However, a tremendous amount of them, on the other hand, will bite the bullet and do it because, number one, it is a small source of income for them, and number two, there will be so much pressure on them that they'll... A lot of them will give into it. I can tell you beyond a doubt, you can take this to the bank. It is, it's good money here. That the Mormon Church will stop doing weddings, period. And that's unfortunate. That's very sad that you will not be able to go to your local church there and have the bishop of that church marry you. They'll, if this becomes in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I can already tell you, I can promise you that they're going to stop. They won't do it. They'll have to go to at least out of town. But if this catches on and they start doing this all over the country, you won't be getting married in a Mormon church. They will eliminate it completely. Now, they'll still have their temple ceremonies and stuff, but that's a whole different issue. So, take that to the bank. Be assured that that is that's going to happen. It's going to happen most rikki-tick in Coeur d'Alene. All right, let me see if this link works, because I'm thinking... that it might not. Because it looks funny. Stuff that looks funny usually doesn't work. Why is that funny to you over there? You don't work sometimes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I feel dry straights for you. Oh, yep, I was right. The link didn't work. It does look funny. Okay, so we'll just skip that one. Let's see here. We have, for those of you that are in Arizona, we're having a disaster preparedness seminar coming up this Saturday in Vernon, Arizona. Right here at home, actually 5 miles from where I live or so. And in this... we're going to do, I'm doing this one a little bit differently than I usually do. I'm getting the venue where I'm doing it is not costing me anything. I've got other people that are helping and supplying stuff for me. So we're doing this like we did some years ago, and we're doing it completely free. Because, mainly because it's my community, and these are my friends, and I think that it's in order to get them to come to this and learn something about what's going on and how to get through it, then I've decided to offer it free of charge. Now, I'm hoping that I'm going to, we're going to have concessions and I'll be selling my books and silver generators and stuff like that along with it. And I'm hoping that that will make up for some of it there a little bit. But it seems the right time, it seems the right place for me to do this. So that's what's going to be happening. So if you're in the in the area, we'd love to see you on here. I'm stuttering and stammering here because I'm trying to get something to work properly here, and it just doesn't want to play. So hang on a minute. I'm still working on it. It's not time for a break. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it could be time for a song, though. We could do a quick song, and then I could get this fixed. Quit stuttering and stammering here. Let's see here. This looks like a good one.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest, these are men America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day, have him win the Green Beret.
Well, in spite of all the time that I had to fix this, it's still not working. So I was going to spend some time tomorrow on some targets and some gun-related stuff that I had planned to do, but I may wind up having to do it tonight. Let's see. Up here it comes. All right, here we go. The thing with the marriage and all this other stuff going on, first, second, fourth, tenth, and every other amendment, there is a deal coming up here concerning your privacy, and this is something that a lot of us have feared and known was coming for a long time, and a lot of us feel that it's already there, but this is a brand new story. Now, we don't know how far back this goes as far as the depth of the truth of this here. This is a Fourth Amendment issue. But the FBI has told Google and Apple that if you don't decrypt these phones, we'll do it for you. Just real quickly here, the Fourth Amendment is the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation that particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. It doesn't say anywhere that they can just sit around and listen to your phone calls just to see if you happen to say something. So this FBI director, who's appointed by Obama, doesn't seem to be too terribly concerned about that. In a recent speech about that, he warned Apple and Google about this. They said everyone is stoked that the latest versions of the iPad and Android, or Apple stuff and Android, will finally encrypt all of the information on your smartphone by default. Except, of course, the FBI. Today, the director spent an hour attacking the companies and the very idea of encryption, even suggesting that Congress should pass a law banning the practice of default encryption. It's no secret that this guy and the FBI hate the prospect of us going dark. It's okay for them to. The idea that law enforcement simply doesn't have the technical capability to track criminals and or just the average person because of all those apps, encryption, Wi-Fi, network switching, and different carriers and so on and so forth. Encryption isn't just a technical feature. It's a marketing pitch. It's the equivalent of a closet that can't be opened, a safe that can't be cracked. And my question is, at what cost? Both companies, Apple and Google, are run by good people, responding to what they perceive is a market demand. But the place they are leading us is one we shouldn't go to without careful thought and debate. All right, before we go on with this, this guy is very much like those people I've been arguing with in New Mexico about this. They feel that any degree of that you can't get out of reach of the long arm of the law. Anything that they want to do that they deem necessary to find bad guys or to solve a case or to whatever, that there is no limit to your privacy, no limit to the amount of your privacy that can be invaded. They think that's okay. And there's apparently quite a large number of these people that think that. And they're 007, you're right there. Who says Google and Apple run by good people? Well, he's saying that because he is he's pandering to them. Kojo, no, I don't know. I don't think that there is one. I think you're going to be searching long and hard. I don't believe there's going to be a semi-automatic that is with that kind of velocity in an air gun. It might, but if there is, I'm sure not aware of it. But so this thing goes on to say, I'm talking about a safe that can't be cracked. A door that can't be opened except by the rightful owner is precisely what you should want. And it should be what the FBI and the Washington and your police department and your judges, now that should be what they would want. It's providing that they live up to the oath that they took, which that was another subject that came up in, I'll talk about that New Mexico deal in a minute. But it's what the Constitution specifically says. The FBI director said, perhaps it's time to suggest that the post-Snowden pendulum has swung too far in one direction, in the direction of fear and mistrust. Now, that pendulum was swinging there long before Snowden never even heard of him. But that would be the privacy pendulum here, which really hasn't moved any in either direction. That hasn't changed anything yet. And to prove how much these people are opposed to this, one Pentagon official said, quoted, he said, I would love to put a bullet in Snowden's head. And nobody threatening to kill him has had any repercussions about it. If you said that about certain political figures and whatnot, then you would go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. So this FBI director obviously should be fired for his blatant disregard for the United States Constitution. But I don't think that's going to happen. Well, let me tell you what went on here. Let me bring this thing up. That we've been arguing about today. I'm afraid if I click this, I'm going to lose it. No, I didn't. How about that? So, there's a guy that posted on there about the Gun Owners of America and talking about the sheriff that they endorse. And Sheriff Mack has endorsed this other guy. So I got to looking around at some of these other folks that's running against this guy. And one of the things that made me look into it is I noticed on this page that it said, let's see here. I wonder if it's still up here. Here it is. Yeah. It says, I believe he's talking about this directly about this article that this guy posted concerning the constitutionality of sheriffs and whatnot. He said, I believe the oath I took as a police officer was to enforce the laws. The sheriff of the county is required to take the same oath. There are, he's illiterate too, it says there are, T-H-E-I-R. There are laws out there we may not like, but by rule of law we are required to enforce. All law enforcement officers do answer to a higher authority. It's called a court of law. In the large book of laws, there is one called dereliction of duty. As an officer of the law, Mr. Hamilton should know that. Okay, he's talking about Hamilton is the good guy, the constitutional sheriff. Actually, he didn't say anything about this. He hasn't even been included in the discussion until this guy popped up. So I went on down. I let him play for a little while. And this other guy says, that's running for sheriff here, says, I applaud you. He's talking about the guy that said his oath required him to enforce the law. Said, I applaud you for your ethics and respect the fact that you truly believe in the oath we as law enforcement officers take. Thank you for knowing the true meaning of being a police officer. Hang on a minute, the dog. Dogs are going crazy out there. All right, now I got to go check. I'll be back. Stand by a minute.
It's Claire.
Oh, never mind. All right. Okay, it's good. So that did it in for me. That was all I could stand. And I said, obviously, Mr. Lanford nor Mr. Elam fully understand what their oath of office or the Constitution says. Nowhere in your oath does it say that you are to enforce the law. It says you will support the law. It doesn't say you will enforce laws. You understand the difference there? It says you will support the law. I said, there's a huge difference there, and if you don't understand it, you may not be the right man for the job. First and foremost, your oath says that you will support both the Constitution of the United States and the state of New Mexico. You're required both by law and by your code of ethics to ensure that the citizens' constitutional rights are upheld. In case you have not read or have forgotten your code of ethics, here is the first paragraph for your perusal. Quote, as a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice. That's the first paragraph from the New Mexico Code of Ethics for a law enforcement sheriff. Then I said, you two gentlemen should probably take up another profession and leave the role of peace officer to those that have a better grasp of those duties. Fortunately, there is a strong movement throughout the country to restore the proper role of the peace officer. You guys should jump on board. Okay, well, then that's, I get attacked here by everybody. There's a whole damn nest of liberals over there, I guess, that this is over in Sierra County, New Mexico. And one guy here who was a former law enforcement officer says, I wonder if Mr. Reynolds was a police officer or not. I served for 20 years, blah, 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 and went on. And so he says, do we blame the... So who do we blame for bad laws, the cops or the lawmakers? I retired from law enforcement because I didn't like the direction the rule makers were going. And I said, well, then you did the right thing by retiring. And he said, in his quote here, he said, I spent 20 years enforcing legal and lawfully enacted laws. Some I liked, some I didn't. So I said, legally and lawfully enacted laws are not always constitutional, which is the point here. Too many Leos can't seem to grasp that concept, but like I said, there's a very strong movement across the country to remedy that. Some will stand up and do what is actually right. Others will be led around by their nose thinking that they are doing the right thing. Hopefully, the voters of Sierra County will educate themselves to do the right thing when they go to the polls. And so they went on talking about me not being a Sierra County resident in Arizona. What am I doing there? But they never did, never once. Here's another one said, Cope Reynolds, certainly not in law enforcement. My husband was in law enforcement. I currently work in law enforcement. And because of our jobs, have an entire family of law enforcement. He doesn't understand. There's all these personal attacks and everything. A lot of this stuff has been deleted, but a lot of this stuff was they completely skirted the issue. They never once made any attempt to address the issue. And they just wanted to tell me. This one says it's clear to me that you're not from Sierra County, nor are you a native of Arizona. It's also clear that you're not a member of the Brotherhood of Law Enforcement Officers. Thankful for that. This is clear to me based on the way you treat and speak to a lady, as men in all these instances are taught better. Well, come to find out, this one gal is his wife, and she's the one that said that he doesn't understand, talking about me. And I said, I understand perfectly, sweetheart, because that bothers her. She thinks I'm a male chauvinist. When I called her sweet cheeks earlier on another one, and that really set her off. So, anyway, that's what's been going on. That is a problem with the entire country here, is the fact that these law enforcement officers don't understand. And it's not that they're stupid. It's not that they're intentionally against the Constitution or the country or us, I don't think, at least not all of them. But there are... I think that some of them, with the proper education, if they'd ever sit down and listen, but you can't get them to sit down and listen. These guys obviously are liberals, and they just refuse to sit down and say, you know what, let me explain that to me again. I put a video on there for them. The, what is it about the, let me see if I can go find it again. I've got the sound out of it that I did for did on the show here a while back, and I'm probably going to do it again here before long. It's an hour long. I'll do that on a Wednesday night or something. But I lost it. But you know which one I'm talking about, where all these sheriffs got together, and a whole bunch of them from several states, a lot of different counties, and they are. Taking this whole Constitution thing very seriously, and they I'm not done with these people yet. I'm pondering on this. I'm getting my thoughts and ammunition together properly, and I'm going to get back over there and see if I can hurt their feelings some more. But anyway. All right. Well, let me go over here and I've got to go punch somebody here in a minute. Do you know that? I'm going to punch you in a minute. Well, because you're there. I don't have to have a reason.
No, you do.
No, I'm the boss.
You can just punch me.
Watch me. Watch me do that. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Stand fast.
States government is seeking to end the Constitution. This will endanger the American people, and we will not stand by and watch while this government of deception prepares to rip away from us all of the freedoms that our forefathers granted us. The freedoms that were fought for, bled for, that our ancestors died for. We must ensure that blood was not shed in vain. That their lives were indeed lost for a great nation that is not yet lost.